The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, who is joining us on the show?
Lil Bro has been a multiple six man of the year, a prolific scorer, a walking bucket. Keep the crossover. J crossover. Ooh, mind playing tricks on me. Dun, 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 dun.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it
what
that
up,
we do?
We get the people what they want.
Jamal Crawford is joining us later in the show, but we start the show with tonight's big deciding game four in the NBA Finals between the Bucks and the Suns. And the story is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Jalen Rose, 42 in game two, 41 in game three. He's been absolutely dominant. What can the Suns
Not
do to stop or
deep.
Slow down?
He was gone
Giannis.
Knee deep. Once you did the freak with May, I don't know if they're going to be able to stop Giannis. See, the one thing about being a primary three-point shooting team, you're going to have your hot and cold days. If he continues to drive the basketball and play with force, I think he's going to get stronger as the series progresses. Here's why. He's actually making his free throws.
Yep.
That's going to give him more confidence to drive to the basket. And also, they don't have anybody in particular other than Ayton that can oppose the Greek Freak if he's being aggressive. I ain't mad at the one leg fall away. I like that he added that. I'm not mad at him attempting one or two heat check threes. But when he decides that he's going to continue to drive the basketball and dunk with the left, dunk with the right, dunk with two hands, and then all of a sudden you get cutters. And he was doing backdoors to Bobby Portis, getting him a layup, getting other guys involved. And so this is the Giannis I think we're going to see for the rest of the series. But if you're DeAndre Ayton and the Phoenix Suns, you must find a way to keep the young fella on the floor. Your team looks dramatically different with him off the floor. In the previous game, he had like 18 points in like the first 15 or 16 minutes. Once he got in foul trouble, that's when Milwaukee went on their initial run. And at that point, the Suns were playing on their heels.
Exactly. They need to keep DeAndre Ayton on the floor, especially without Saric. Craig isn't 100%, so that means they're going to put in Frank Kaminsky, and no one can stop Giannis, but Frank Kaminsky definitely can't stop Giannis. They also need contributions from CP3 and Devin Booker, who were so good in Game 1 and Game 2 at home, but struggled a little bit in Game 3. Do you expect them to bounce back in Game 4?
I like what you did there, family, because you're right. They alternated 30-point games in Games 1 and 2. But the problem in Game 3, neither one of them cracked 20. If they're going to win this series, both of them have to be scoring, in particular on the road, where you're not going to get Mikal Bridges to also all of a sudden pop up and score 27 points. I appreciate, however, what Cam Johnson was able to do off the bench. That's something positive that they're going to be able to build on the road. But you're going to need Cameron Payne to push the tempo. You're going to need Jay Crowder to make shots from three. But ultimately, your backcourt is what's going to drive this. And Book can't finish the last 5 minutes on the sideline unless they're up 25 and he's putting ice on his knees. It can't be because he was already struggling, only had 10 points, and Monty was trying to save him for the next game.
You see, I was very, very confounded by that decision to keep Book on the bench in the fourth quarter, especially because of the final schedule. There's multiple days off between Game 3 and Game 4, so the idea that he was resting for fatigue reasons doesn't really work for me. However, one of the reasons that CP3 and Book did struggle in Game 3 was Drew Holiday. You know what Drew Holiday is going to give you on the defensive end, but in Game 3, he showed up on the offensive end as well. Can they expect that in Game 4?
No hesitation. I think they can. And the threes that he made in particular in the second half, Jacoby, were major. But let me go back to your comment about Booker finishing on the bench. Here's why you do that. You go to your star player and you say, I'm going to go small with CP and Cameron to see if we can force some tempo and get the game back under control, get us around 10, and then I'll go to you. The problem is they never made a run. If they would have made a run, he would have got back in the game. They just never made a run.
Yeah, they didn't make a run. And you talk about them pushing the tempo. The problem is when you push the tempo, the Bucks are great in transition, especially Giannis, and they will feast in transition if the Suns allow them to in Game 4. We have some other NBA news, which is very interesting and has some serious implications. Kawhi Leonard had successful surgery to repair a partial tear of his ACL. Now, Kawhi Leonard has a player option. He could opt in to 1 year, about $36 million. He's also eligible to get about a four-year, $176 million contract from the Clippers. Do you think this injury and his rehabilitation will change or impact his decision that he has to make this offseason?
You know how much I am a fan of Kawhi and how I've talked about the level of player he was from San Diego State, playing for Steve Fisher and Brian Dutcher, basically playing center in high school, wasn't much of a three-point shooter to being a finals MVP and a multiple champion in the NBA. But this knee injury is clearly a real issue. It's, in theory, what got him out of San Antonio, the alleged misdiagnosis of it, is what allowed him to fall out with the team and ultimately led for him to end up in Toronto. So now that he's with the Clippers, you don't want to see your star player go under the knife, in particular when he has an option to be a free agent. But this actually is the best thing long-term that could have happened for the Clippers.
What's
because
that?
Because you're the team that has to be happy with paying Kawhi a maximum deal, even though that you know that he's injured, even though that you know that you're going to need to low manage. That was a part of the agreement when he got there. And so also as the player, you don't want to be traveling, being recruited while you're injured, while you're trying to rehab. So therefore, I think because of that, he ultimately ends up signing long-term to stay with the Clippers.
Yes, I also agree. I think that if he was 100% healthy and he had a great playoff run, then maybe he considers joining the Heat or the Mavericks or leaving LA. But the idea that he just had surgery and he's going to be rehabbing, and as you mentioned, he's going to load manage. This tells me that he's not going to play a full slate of games next year, and he's comfortable doing that with the Clippers. Jalen, we had the Major League Baseball All-Star Game last night. It started out so exciting. We had Ohtani with a 1-2-3 first inning. We had Vlad Jr. going deep. But it got kind of boring in the late innings, Jalen Rose. I can't lie. What do you think of the All-Star Game?
Bam, you know why I got boring? Because they took my guy out. You already know I'm going on a war tour to see Shohei when the season ended. I've been telling you that all year, and he did do a Snoop Dogg in the first inning, his 1-2-3, and got him up out of there, and they took him out of the game after just competing in the home run derby. The guy is incredible. Shout to Vlad Jr., however, the youngest All-Star Game MVP, hit a rocket moonshot in the game, and I'm telling you, I saw this with James Harden. His improvement started when he got in shape. Same with Draymond Green, same with Kevin Love. Those three players, look at them when they were in college and earlier in their career. Transforming their bodies turned them into all-star level players. That's what happened with Vlad Jr.
You know, that also is what happened with you, Jalen Rose. When we started this show, you were much bigger than you are now. And you have also transformed your body and improved your performance. So it is not just these prime athletes that are doing that. It is also you. Because I remember
50,
Kangaroo Jalen. You were analyzing basketball while your head looked like the basketball at the same time. Jalen, I have some very concerning news. Because I don't love the Pistons, but I love you, and you love the Pistons. And now there are reports that teams, specifically the Rockets, are aggressively trying to trade for the number one pick. If the Pistons trade this pick, I will never, ever, 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 ever not think about it. This is a no-brainer. Cade Cunningham, number one pick. You cannot trade a no-brainer number one pick. Jalen, why would they even be considering this?
I already see the big stage. The first draft held on ABC. I'm on the set, suited and booted, next to Jay Will, next to Maria Taylor, next to Woj. The Detroit Pistons have not drafted number one since the early 70s. That was Bob Lanier, the big dauber. They haven't taken a guard number one since 1967, and that was my biological father, Jimmy Walker. You're not going to trade this pick because you don't get this type of player very often, clearly, in particular, since he's the undisputed number one overall player.
He is a tailor-made prospect for today's NBA. He is as close to a can't-miss as you get. The Pistons should not even be picking up the phone. They should not even be picking up the phone.
Yeah.
Look at him. Look at him in that
That's
Pistons uniform.
About. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And here's the thing. Not only should we not be considering trading a pick, don't even play no games. Don't work out other people. Don't speculate that you're considering it. Use that time talking to his family. Use that time talking to his high school coach. Use that time ingratiating him to the city. Because you saw Ben Wallace up there. He'll let you know what it's like to be a Detroit Piston player and how we put on for our squad.
You know what? I can't wait. I can't wait till Cade Cunningham is at the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy golf outing every year. I can't wait till he's in the gym with the Jaguars. That's how you ingratiate yourself to Detroit, is you become a Jalen Rose Leadership Academy supporter.
Indeed.
Just
Absolutely.
Like our next guest, Jalen Rose, who is joining us in a very brief time.
Jay Crossover, and imagine the guy that he just turned in circles, Kirk Heinrich, he actually played behind him at a point of his career. Jay Crossover joins us next.
Dialing in profile. Thank you for the fros, the suits, the short shorts, long shorts, the tats, and
gotta be the shoes.
Game four.
Great, well,
it's the NBA Finals.
Coming to you live from the Seaport District of New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby joining us right now on the program. This man is a walking bucket. It is Jamal Crawford. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Man, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. I'm one of the biggest fans of the show.
Oh, it means a lot to us. We have game four of the NBA Finals tonight. Seems like there's been a momentum swing as the series went to Milwaukee. What do you expect tonight in game four?
I expect Milwaukee to win. I really do. I think the home team has won every single game, and that's how I see it playing out. I see it going seven, and I think Phoenix wins in the end.
So, JC, I love you, brother. Thank you for joining the show. It's a family affair, as I sung. And you played with CP. You balled with Book. What do you see with these Phoenix Suns, and how do you feel they're going to close it out?
Well, I think they have two closers. You know what I mean? Usually you have one closer if you're lucky. They have two closers, and they know how to get out each other's way while still being effective. I think they're both dogs. I think they both have respect for each other. And I think they're focused. I think they're hungry and humble. They know what's at stake, and I think they're going to get it done in the series.
Now, Team USA is preparing for the Tokyo Olympics. They beat Argentina, but they previously lost to Australia and Nigeria. What do you think about the state of Team USA right now?
I think it was a shocker for everyone, but I think they'll figure it out. There's too much talent. You have the great Greg Popovich over there, and I feel like you have the best player in the world, Kevin Durant. So with all those things, when they come into play, at the end of the day, I still see them winning the gold.
JC, I've been extremely outspoken about the fact that you should still be in the league. The last time we saw you, you were scoring 50, literally, for the Suns. You also played for Doc Rivers, who coaches Ben Simmons, who clearly struggles offensively, in particular, outside of the paint. Would you trade Ben Simmons at this point of his career? And why do you think he has that hesitancy to shoot outside of the paint?
Well, like you told me, it's a thinking man's game. You told me that a long time ago. And sometimes I can work against you. I think Ben is thinking a little bit too much about his jumper and his shot instead of just focusing on what he does well. If he stays away from what he doesn't do well and kind of, you know, protects himself within that, I think he'll be fine. But push comes to shove, he still has to work on the, you know, getting through that free throw block and getting through that through the paint block, because that's going to haunt him the rest of his career if he doesn't nip it in the bud now.
One thing you can always do is get yourself to your spot and get a mid-range jump shot. We see CP doing it in the finals. We saw DeMar DeRozan do it for his whole career. You said a mid-range shot is like a jab in boxing. What do you mean by that?
It keeps you honest. I mean, there's more than one way to skin a cat. I've always seen the best scorers in the world Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, they live in the mid-range, you know, and I think it keeps you effective. You can control the game from the mid-range area. People don't always think it's going to be a three or a layup. That's predictable. I think being unpredictable and mixing it up gives you the best chance. And at the end of the day, they're not going to call foul when you go in there, and you don't want to live and die by a three-pointer. That mid-range is the jab that's going to keep you honest throughout the whole game.
And I know Jamal Crawford has a baby face with a dope part in his head, but he's the only guy in the history of the NBA to score 50-plus points for one, two, three, four teams. And he's also had back-to-back 50-point games this year in his summer league. So, Jamal, tell us why you're still playing at such a high level, and do you have hopes to still play in the NBA?
Well, love of the game. I thank you guys for always holding me down, always keep my name ringing, always get those texts from everybody that you guys have mentioned me. For me, it's just love of the game. I used to dream about being in this position. I dreamed about going to Michigan because Jay Rose and the Fab Five went there. I dreamed about being in the NBA. You know, so for me, I'm going to play as long as I can, as long as I'm at a high level. When I'm not, I'll be the first one to stop playing. But for now, basketball is something I love. It comes natural to me. You know, and I would love to play in the NBA again, the right situation, but I'm not just waiting by the phone. So it's just love of the game. And if that opportunity comes, obviously I'll be ready.
So Jalen mentioned it, but you have two straight 50-point games in your Seattle Pro-Am League. You know, I love the Drew League. I love Dykeman. I love Rucker. I love that kind of stuff. What has the experience been like for you this summer in Seattle?
It's been unbelievable because we didn't get a chance to play last year because of COVID, obviously. And the year before that, you know, I was getting right and taking my time, so I didn't get a chance to play. So 2 years, they was waiting for me to play, and I had to make sure I sent a message. The last time people saw me, I got hurt on the court, you know, and I didn't want that to be the last impression. So for me, I said, I'm going to send a message this weekend right from the start.
So players like Jamal and KD, I call them barnstormers, Jacoby. They'll fly into your town, go put up 50 on your court, and leave and have your own fans booing you. I got to ask you a really important question that we've argued about on this show. In those type of runs, do you like ones and twos or twos and threes when you're playing street ball?
We could do it however they want to do it, Jay. If they want to have chain nets as the basket, if they want to go outside. I was outside playing and the court was sloped up, so I had to figure that out while playing. Whatever they want to do, every circumstance I've seen. So whatever they want to do, we could do it.
So one thing that I always get terrified by are the double rims. When I go to the park outside and I see the double rims with the chain net, I know I'm not hitting any jump shots. Are you intimidated by double rims?
I used to be, but then I figured out it ain't the double rims. When I'm outside, it's the wind. The wind's the hardest defense I've ever seen because I can't judge it. Yeah, I could figure out the double rims at some point, but that wind, you never know how it's going to, you know, hit when you let the ball go.
Hey, JC, I want to make sure Team USA get a gold medal. They dropped their first two exhibition games. They got it together in the previous game. Why do you think they struggled so far?
I think part of it, I watched the first game, is defensively. I think they're giving up a lot of open shots. I think they could be more aggressive on defense. And I think offensively, I would love to see, you know, somebody kind of, if we're going to play through KD or Dame or whoever it's going to be, let's take the lead. And I think it makes everybody else fall in line and puts them in their role a little bit easier than all of them kind of like, no, you shoot it. I think it gives more continuity when we know exactly where we're pointing the ball.
It's a really good point. Jamal, thank you so much for joining us on Jalen and Jacoby. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot, family.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so
much.
No
doubt.
We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose as Simone Biles, who is the GOAT, prepares for the Tokyo Olympics. She says she wears a GOAT on her leotard to mess with the haters on social media. She got haters? Who's hating on Simone Biles?
It only makes sense. She's taking the game to a whole different level. I remember watching Mary Lou Retton when I was young win medals. She's taking it to an entire different level. You see that walk? You see that strut of confidence? That's GOAT material right there. And she's going to go and dominate.
That GOAT is going to come home with multiple gold medals, and I cannot wait to watch. Jalen, we have some news. Someone who's in your phone, Willie Green, is emerging as the front runner to become the new head coach of the Pelicans. What do you think about this development?
I'm so very happy for my little brother, Detroit native Willie Green. He deserved this opportunity. I'm also happy for our father figure, Perry Watson, who his tree continues to expand for so many people that he's influenced. But if you're the Pelicans, you get Willie Green, your next call should be somebody that's actually in Charlotte, and that's Jermaine Jackson. So if I'm Charlotte, I get on the phone with Jermaine Jackson right now, who's the manager of LaMelo Ball, and I try to do whatever I can to keep him and them happy. Because if Willie Green ends up with the Pelicans, you know him and Jermaine Jackson played in college together. And you want to keep Melo in Charlotte. You don't want his guy going to the Pelicans. Stay tuned.
Interesting. We also have an interesting story. This one, frankly, makes me mad because I love ice cream and I love Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Ice cream!
But now they're doing Kraft macaroni and cheese flavored ice cream. Why are they doing this, Mr. Rose? Why are they doing this?
I don't know why they're doing it. I'm not rolling. I'm not going to be able to do it. There's so many different options. I'm good. I do not want cheese mixed with my dairy ice cream or any type of ice cream.
I will say this. There is no human being that makes better macaroni and cheese than my wife. It is the absolute best. Shout out to Joey Jacoby. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. on ESPN. We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content with our guests. Today, we have Jamal Crawford joining
us. Crossover.
My family. Big bro. What up, Jacoby?
What's happening? Now, see, you always keep a fresh cut just like my co-host here. Now, you said you're going to the barbershop
not
today.
As fresh as here.
Like, how often are we getting a cut?
Now, that was a barbershop in the house. A cut. It's probably like.
Jacoby, my friends are rich, dog. My friends are rich.
You got extra rooms.
I would say I get one like once a week, but in that week, just a little touch up on the line. But it ain't like Jay. Jay is that's the sharpest line in all of the business, period. He's so dope, his lineup is making money.
Absolutely. They expect it. Nah, that put pressure. So I have to ask you this because I've always appreciated your humility to go with, you know, the kind of talent that you are. And the last time the league saw you, you was basically averaging 30 for the Phoenix Suns in the final month of the season. And you have not been back into the league since. What has that period of time been like for you where you know you still can play in the league, yet you necessarily haven't got the opportunity?
It's tough, Jay, because as you know, like at first they was like, okay, he's older. I'm like, all right, you want me to play the role of, you know, mentor? No problem. I have no problem doing that. So I did that. Then at the end of that month back in Phoenix, they're like, all right, everybody's hurt, just go hoop. So I go have my highest scoring month in 19 years. I averaged 31-6. All off the bench. And we win half the games. So then I go, I'm like, oh, okay. So I still showed I'm at that level, but it's like you said, it takes a certain humility to say, you know what, I'm gonna put these guys first. But don't hold it against me when you be like, oh, his stats are down. Well, you barely playing me. What you expect? Right? So then fast forward, I get a chance at the bubble. And for those 5 minutes, like I felt normal. Like, and I haven't played in 16 months. And what people don't know is I didn't get hurt on the court. I got hurt in the weight room. Jay, you play with me twice. You know, I don't lift weights. But I didn't want to be the guy like, no, I'm the vet. I ain't going to do what you say. Like, no, I'm happy to be here. If you want me to lift weights, I'll lift weights. That's not what I do, but I'll do it. And I end up getting hurt in the weight room. Nobody knows that. So that's what happened. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a scoop right there, Jacoby.
Yeah.
Most people don't know or didn't realize that. And by the way, talk more about your experience in the bubble. That was a unique NBA season for somebody that's been in a part of the league for two decades.
Yeah, for me, I didn't know what to expect, you know, but I was like, damn, we just up here. But then, you know me, Jay, I'm a hoop head. So for me, I was like, this is like a this is like five-star camp. This is Nike camp. Mm-hmm. I'm good. Yeah. So you go back at the gym at nighttime, get shots up. It's basketball all the time. I was trying to go to other people's games. Like, I just love the game. So for me, it was the release and the outlet. Yeah, it's tough because you don't see family, but between FaceTime and everything else, you know, I was fine. I was in the gym all the time. I was good. I loved it.
Obviously, part of the story of the bubble was some of the social injustice battles that were happening outside of the bubble and how that affected you in the bubble. What was it like being in that environment during that tumultuous time?
It was tough. It was tough because you're thinking about, like, dang, this is an escape. We're playing basketball. And for me, I was happy to be back there, you know, in the mix. But it was like more real pressing issues that was going on and still going on, you know, and it was just, it was heartbreaking because as a black man, as blacks, it's like, damn, we got to fight so many battles, you know, just to be looked at as equal, not to be looked at as ahead of this person, ahead of that person, just to be looked at as equal. So that was tough because basketball, for those 2 hours, you're not thinking about that. But when you leave, those other 22 hours, those other, you know, 15 hours you're up, that's consuming your mind and your thoughts and how to be better and what you can do by doing your part. No one person can change the whole thing, but we all have a part to play. So I was like, how can I do my part?
So there are a lot of categories when I look back at the history of the game that you fall in, like some of the best handles, one of the greatest six men. I talked about you scoring 50 for four different squads. No one else has done it. So which team or situation do you identify yourself the most with throughout your career?
I would say the Knicks and the Clippers. Those are my two favorite places to play, but they were also the two places I spent the most time. You know, so I was in New York 4.5 years. I was with the Clippers 5 years. But for me personally, they were just so much fun. New York was like, you were on stage. I remember one time Samuel L. Jackson came to the game and I wasn't playing. And he looked across the court, he's sitting courtside. He says, you're not playing? I said, no. He said, oh, like I only came to watch you play. I'm like, damn, that's Samuel L. Jackson. Well, so it was like you performing, you know what I mean? And then being in LA, same thing. And I thought we had a real chance to at least get to the finals. You need some luck once you get there, but I thought we had a chance to get to the finals. So that was the best team I was ever on.
So you mentioned your time with the Knicks, and this one particular game has come to mind, and I bet you remember what I'm talking about. How many straight field goals did you hit in a Knick uniform?
16. So
16! Wow. No, I remember this game. I was watching it. I was wilding out.
I've known as a scorer. I've had some crazy scoring nights, but I've never in my life, in playground, NBA, nowhere ever been this hot. And I scored 42 straight points. So from the end of the first quarter until the end of the third quarter, I didn't miss a shot. And 8 of the 16 were threes. So you're getting everything. Ooh. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so when I came out the game, and we're playing the defending champion Heat at the time, right? So everybody's at the game. Heath Ledger. Nobody knows that.
It was a weekend. Was it on a weekend? I think it was like a Saturday or Sunday, if I remember right.
It may have been, but Heath Ledger was there at the game, actually. You know, they played in the Dark Knight. So there's a bunch of people. But I scored 52, and I came out with 7 minutes to go. If I would have stayed in, the game is closer, I would have had 65. Easy.
Yeah. And Jamal, in the era of positionless basketball, you were so ahead of your time. You can shoot the three. You can play one-on-one. You played mid-range, you finished at the hoop, and you did tricks. Yes. Like, Jamal Crawford did tricks. He threw it through his legs, threw it off the backboard to Blake Griffin. Players weren't doing that. So, as the game now has evolved, and you look back at your career, what are some of your favorite moments that you had in the league?
Ooh, I would say the 52-point game. I would say the Blake Griffin play that you're talking about, because we only had talked about that play once, never practiced it, nothing. You know, you get together after Labor Day and you like start working out with the team. I was like, BG, if I do this, you think you could do it? I said, I've had this play in my head since I wanted to do it at Michigan first, right? But I didn't get the opportunity because I wanted to do it on that stage. And so I'm like, all right, I had this play in my head since I was 8 years old. He said, yeah, I could do it. That was September. Fast forward to March, it's me and him. I look back, I said, oh, this is the moment. This is it. So when I do it, I throw it up. I'm like, Blake, just catch it. Just catch it. He caught it and windmilled it. I'm like, oh, it's over. That plays to the moon now. You know what I mean? So, it was over with. But that was one of my favorites. So many moments. The move on Kirk Heinrich that I made up on the fly. You know, like certain things like that was my favorite moves. But to be honest with y'all, like I honestly never released my best moves because I was saving them if I ever made an All-Star game. So I never released them.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So
wow.
Now that the Prince records, they in the vaults, man. They just gonna be in the vaults now.
Well, and one of the things that I love about watching going to the Drew League in LA and going to Dykeman and Rucker and watching players that play in the NBA get in that summer environment and just get extra saucy. And you were saucy in the league, but what is it about these summer runs that you enjoy so much and you're so good at?
Well, you're your own coach. There's no limits. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to play a role. I can do what I want. I can, you know, so I can be creative. I can expand. And it's really like everything goes out the window. You know, bring your name, not your game. Because they're trying to come at me. You know, this was college kids. It was other pros. And I'm trying to go at them. You know, all the politics is out of it. And that's why it's still so pure. And that's why I still love playing in that.
And I'm going to say this on wax. I'm definitely coming out there in August to support you. I'm forever grateful of your support of JRLA. And I got to ask you another thing about your game, because you will be a $400 million player. You were also clutch. So what about some of your favorite game winners?
I remember the 05-06 season with the Knicks. I hit four game winners in the season. And I've never told this story. I hit one game winner against the Pacers one night. And Kenny Smith came and interviewed me. I don't know who he was working for at the moment. He was like, yeah, you hit a game winner. I said, I'm going to do it again tonight. And I hit a game winner that same night. So back-to-back nights in the Garden, I hit two game winners in that season. Yeah, so, I mean, that one, the one against Houston on TNT, my first national game winner. The one in the playoffs when I was with the Hawks, it wasn't a game winner, but it was a game clincher. We was up one, and we had to score it. So, yeah. And I remember, Jay, I remember something you told me a long time ago. You said, game winners are easy when the score is tied. But if you down one and down two, and you got to hit a game winner. Yeah, that's
exactly
different. It's a different pressure.
Exactly.
For sure. For sure.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us, Jamal. Really appreciate it. You're welcome to come back anytime here on Jalen and Jacoby.
Man, anytime. I love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Love you too, family. I'll be out there in August for sure.
Okay. For sure, for sure.
All right.
All right.
You will never see Jalen Rose's name at the bottom of the ticker because they need your sources. You try to get in the bottom of the ticker one time at ESPN. You try to get in the bottom of the ticker and break some news, try to get your Schefter woes going. And then they were like, so how do you know that, Mr. Rose? Who told you? And you're like, you know what? I'm good.
But I was young in the game.
Sprinkled out a little sauce. You sprinkled out a little sauce.
Sprinkle me, Mike.
Willie Green, who's going to be the head coach of the Pelicans. We know that. But why do you link him and LaMelo? I'm confused. LaMelo's on his rookie deal.
Project Pat, here we go. So here's the deal. Willie Green will be the next coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. I've known him, fellow Detroit native, for basically his entire basketball life. He played in college under my father figure, our father figure, the godfather, the John Wooden of the state of Michigan, Perry Watson, who also coached Juwan Howard and Howard, by the way. And so now all of a sudden, Willie gets the job with the Pelicans. First off, it's a reward of people that always stay solid. He's always, this ain't hyperbole, dog. And you know I don't just say this about people. Willie Green, the kind of dude you want to marry your daughter. Like, he's solid. Like, who you see in front of the camera is who he is off wax. Like, who you see me in front of the camera and who you see me off wax, that's two different people. That's two different people.
You don't want Jalen or Jacoby to marry your daughter.
Yeah, no. And so,
but it's not those type of people.
How about this? He played college basketball with Jermaine Jackson. If you've ever heard that name before, he not only played in the league, but he's currently the manager of LaMelo Ball. Right?
Mm-hmm.
LaMelo Ball is a member of the Charlotte Hornets. You're right, he is on his rookie deal. But LaMelo has an older brother named Lonzo. And you and I know that their father and them both had goals for all of their brothers to play together if they could in the NBA.
Yep.
One of those guys is a free agent this offseason. And you're going to see Lonzo get some offers. I'm looking at you, Indiana Pacers.
Lakers, Pacers, Knicks.
Correct. And so, say you're Willie Green and you want to keep Lonzo because he is a good player in New Orleans. You go to them and you say, hey, why don't we sign Lonzo? Because that may give us a chance to lure Melo from the Hornets. Now, this is why I bring up Jermaine Jackson. This is extremely interesting. He and Willie Green were college teammates. They're brothers. Willie Green and Jermaine Jackson played for Perry Watson at the University of Detroit. They're brothers. I know for a fact that when he get that job, he gonna call JJ to be on his staff. Remember when we brought LaMelo on this show when he was in high school with LeVar? You remember who was his high school coach in Ohio?
Jermaine Jackson.
Correct. So if I'm Charlotte, I'm gonna give you some advice. Here's the advice if you Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, I'll give you Jermaine Jackson's number. Whatever the Lakers are doing for Randy, y'all should be doing for Jermaine. Y'all need to put him on the staff. Y'all need to let him fly on the plane. Y'all need to let him sit on the end of the bench if he wants to. Because Willie Gunn call. And if he lures Jermaine away from Charlotte to be a part of the Pelicans coaching staff, 3-2-1, it ain't good for the Hornets. It ain't good for the Hornets. And so, you better hope if you're a Hornets fan, you better hope if you're a Pelicans fan, that Lonzo take a deal and go somewhere else.
The Hornets have had nothing to cheer for. They've had nothing going on in their franchise. Nothing except for LaMelo Ball. And here you are after one season, after winning Rookie of the Year, putting LaMelo Ball on another team already. It's a shame. It's a shame.
Here's what I'm doing, Jacoby. My job. All right, I can be at bottom of the ticker, but I'm Tom Brady with the phone. You said that. We had just started Grantland. I was doing the Rose Report. I was like, you know what? I'm going to show them. I got more contacts than everybody. So I reached out to one of the producers, and I was like, yo, I got some inside tips on some things that's going to happen. And they were like, all right, we're going to turn you over to this person. And then, like, it was one person who was asking me a lot of questions. I'm like, why are you asking me so many
questions?
Like, yeah, I was like Jacoby. I was like, I don't like all these follow-up questions. Like,
I said what I said. So, I'm done.
And then I'm like, all right. I answered like 5 or 6 questions, and then I thought that was going to be it. And then he was like, all right, so now I'm going to turn you over to the news desk. I'm like, hold on, man. So then I'm on with the news desk, and they're asking me the same question, so I was kind of prepared. And then hit the brakes, Reg. And then he asked me the all-important questions. Jalen, who told you? And can we see the message? Both. They not only wanted me to tell them the name of my sources, but they wanted to physically look at the message. And you know what I said?
I know exactly what you said.
I'm not going to be able to do it. As a matter of fact, that set the tone for the fact, unless somebody says something on this show and they say it was said on Jalen and Jacoby, you won't see me at the bottom of the ticker. But I'm at the top of the ticker when I tell you this. Whatever the Lakers are doing for Randy, because he's earned the autonomy with LeBron James.
Randy's in LeBron James' in a circle.
The same can be said for Jermaine Jackson and LaMelo. Charlotte, if you want to keep LaMelo long-term, You can't give him more money right now. He's still on his rookie deal, right? You can't go build a new arena. You can't go build new facilities. Do you think it helps if you put his manager on the staff? I would consider doing that, because if Lonzo stays with the Pelicans with Willie Green as head coach, I don't think that's good for Hornets fans. I'll say 3-2-1, the countdown begins to him joining his brother in Zion playing with the New Orleans Pelicans.
I love watching LaMelo throw lobs to Bridges, but I would really love to watch LaMelo throw lobs to Zion. I really would. We always want to include you, the people listening to the podcast. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. Please leave us a voicemail. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. And we always want to hear from you. So right now, call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this.
What's up with y'all? It's Pete from the O, Pierre from West Oakland calling y'all. And first of all, I just want to say shout out to the crew, Jalen, Jacoby, Reds, the Ledge, everybody, man. Y'all doing great things on this show. I've been down and around like I'm on the ground with y'all for a while. You feel me? If you could dig it and don't need a shovel, but I just want to know if this is a soft move or a boss move. My homeboy got a crib over across the water in Frisco, and he messed with hella women. And, yeah, he kind of known just for, you know, being that player, living that player type of lifestyle. But he told me a story that I thought was funny earlier. He said, you know, P, all these women come over my house, and I got one green toothbrush that I use for myself. He said he also has a purple one, which every one of those females use, dog. And he said they so gullible that they all think it's their personal. And I just want to know if this is soft or a boss move, man. It was funny.
Yo, big shout out to P in Oakland. His friend lives in San Francisco. He gets around, and he has
round
a green toothbrush for himself.
Round you go.
And he has a purple one that every lady thinks is their personal purple toothbrush, but they're actually using the same toothbrush. Jalen Rose, I have to say, as much as I love P and I love his friend even more, you cannot have two different people be using the same toothbrush, especially if they don't know about it. Like that's a soft move to me. That's a soft move.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate you joining the program. My Bay Area cousin, you know Detroit and the Bay get down like four flat tires. As a matter of fact, I just had your player partner, 40 Water, this past week on the Renaissance Man. Make sure y'all download that. And as a matter of fact, Jacoby, he sent the care package. And you know what Earl Stevens sent?
I saw.
Multiple beverages. The Tycoon hooked me up. So soon as this series ends, you're going to see me at the Tiger game cheering for Ohtani, sneaking one of them Earl Stevens bottles into the game. That's one of my goals, to sneak a whole Earl Stevens bottle.
That's my goal. My goal.
Into the game. And so now let me get to your question. And I love the Bay Area accent too. Rest in peace, Mac Dre. It's definitely a soft move. I know in his head he think he's running game, but here's where he's being fooled. Because I'm pretty sure he's probably kissing them as well. Mm. Right? So you can't have them using the same toothbrush when you're kissing them also. And if you respect them any, you wouldn't mislead them that way. That's unethical. I'm going to encourage you to stop that immediately. As a man that can be petty, just like anybody, but also I'm really about karma. And if you doing something that don't really mean something, that could be harmful to somebody else and they don't know, but you're doing it again and it's really unnecessary, you're doing it over and over and over again, you're going to get caught up. Now, I don't think, I'm not going to say that means that you're going to quote unquote get busted, but you're going to get caught up. So I will tell you right now, all you got to do, dog, all you got to do, go to the drugstore and buy a pack of toothbrushes.
It's easy. You can get like five for two, $3.
But I got a David Jacoby follow-up question.
Uh-oh.
I need to know how old this Bay Area player is. Because here's the thing about being almost 50. Are they spending the night like that? That's the question I need to ask, right?
Is it a morning toothbrush or is it a before we you get see, it in, you, quick freshen up?
No, the toothbrush happened in the morning. That happened
really?
In the morning. The shower happened at night. The toothbrush happened in the morning.
Well, it sounds like this young man needs to learn some very simple words. And those words are, your Uber is downstairs. That's all. That's what this young man needs to learn. Your Uber is downstairs. Oh, what? Yeah, I had a great time too. Your Uber is downstairs. It's a Toyota Highlander. License plate number ends with 74C.
But here's the thing about J&J, though. That's an intimate detail. I was just on the internet yesterday. Saw somebody with a J&J hoodie. Saw somebody with a JRLA hoodie. And you know we have a lot of women that not only work on this show, but are fans of this show. So, hey, ladies, you just heard something about a toothbrush. You even heard the color of it. So now if that's you, she's immediately sending a text. She's immediately sending a text.
And there's multiple women that think that's their toothbrush.
That's just nasty, to be honest.
That ain't right.
That's just rude.
Using someone else's toothbrush.
Let me tell you what that reminds me of. Like, I have a disdain for unnecessary roughness.
That's unnecessary roughness. 15 yards.
So like, it's almost like if you're in the kitchen and you're about to bring somebody a plate, and you drop some of the food on the floor. Don't be the kind of person to put it back on the plate and don't tell them.
Oh, dog. Grantland. At Grantland, we used to get drinks on Fridays. And when I rode my bicycle to go get a pizza one time, and the pizza fell off and landed on the floor. So I just picked it up and wiped it off and put it back in the box and brought it right to the bar and gave it to everybody.
Yeah.
And I was eating the pizza and I got a little chunk of a rock in there while I was eating the pizza. Yeah, I did that. I did that.
You're
guilty
disgusting.
As charged. Guilty as charged.
You're
you know what this toothbrush thing reminds me of, which is worse than that? I got mad little kids. And I remember one time in my kitchen, there was a water bottle that was half full and I was thirsty. So I opened up the water bottle and I drank the water. And in the water was chunks of food. And I'll never, ever forget that. So if my kids are drinking from a water bottle, that's theirs.
Nasty.
Yeah, it was just like I was chewing the water all of a sudden. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. Oh, thank you so much for the call.
I gotta say one more thing though. I'm glad for therapy reasons you got a chance to release that. I can tell that you've been holding on to that guilt for a really long time.
I only told Juliet.
You're a bad friend.
I'm a bad friend. That's what I'm saying. I don't deny it. I'm a bad person.
So it makes sense why you can't be loyal to a team now.
I'm a bad person.
This all makes sense now.
I'm very upfront about it. I'm a bad person.
This all makes sense.
I'm a trash human being. It's what I am. Big shout to Gatorade for sponsoring the voicemails. Voicemails are sponsored by Gatorade. Greatness starts with a G. We will be back tomorrow. First of all, big shout to Jamal Crawford. How great was he? Big shout to Jamal Crawford. Someone hire him. Get him back in the league.
And by the way, shout to Jamal Crawford, my little brother from another. And it reminded me of one of my favorite pictures that I actually have hanging. but I'm not at home right now. It was early 2000s. I had a celebrity charity weekend. The first basketball player in Chicago to do so. And I ain't do it at a high school. I ain't do it at a college. I did it at the United Center. And Friday night, we had a comedy show. And as I look back at the lineup I put together, D-Ray Davis, Sed the Entertainer, Simone, and was it Steve Harvey? Oh, Earthquake, my brother, and Earthquake. That was Friday. Saturday was the All-Star game. And I point that out for a reason. A couple of my favorite pitchers happened this day. Shout to Mariah Christian Rose. Today, she turns 21 years of age.
Oh, it's
her
birthday?
She's on a flight right now to Vegas with her friends. Mariah Rose turns 21 today. And one of my favorite pitchers that I have, actually, it's three pitchers that I have from that day. She's in a picture with Jamal Crawford, who also played in that game. She's in a picture with Ashanti, who was one of the top artists in the world. And I had Ashanti as a halftime act. Man, I was before my time. Shout to Magic Johnson. Everything I do, I saw him do first. And lastly, you're going to love this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture of Mariah in my arms with the rest of the Fab Five. That was the last time we've been in the same place at the same time. I was holding Mariah in my arms, and now she's 21 years of age.
Good for her. Shout to Mariah Rose. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.